I do have the King James Version here next to me because that's my favorite. Next to my Jewish Bible, which you don't realize, there's a great Jewish Bible called Complete Jewish Bible and written in English for us, but it has a lot of the Jewish words in there. And it's so meaningful and actually different from all these versions because the scrolls that were written are not exactly interpreted by King James Version as we think they are, as we understand they should be, but they're not because the interpreters that were writing the King James Version were under a threat. So those scholars under King James, as they were interpreting it for him or bringing the meanings to him, if he didn't like the meaning, he beheaded them. I'm so glad that you not can't behead me because I bring you a definition of what the scriptures are speaking to us. And see, there are people today that are out there and they're giving the words, but there's no study behind it. You see, we can't depend on an American savior. He was not American. We can't depend on American definitions only. This is why I'm so glad, I'm so grateful I met a rabbi, and he is spirit-filled. But he doesn't make us change into the messianic movement that's out there. He doesn't do that because that is not the truth. That's what we call, and some of you will understand, this a wannabe. I am adopted. I am a Jew by adoption. But there's a difference in me that's yet to rise up. And that day will happen, but not today. We will celebrate and do everything according to the prior covenant, but not today. It'll come when the final of all is finalized. And he brings the new Jerusalem back down. We're going to celebrate as God defined it to be celebrated. But today, as adoptees, we're the wild branch. How many know what that means? See, some of us don't even understand. We are the wild branch. And that's what Ribby, I said, I'm sorry, Rabbi. I'm the wild branch. I'm sorry. But there's things I believe in that he states, but he brings an interpretation that's so different than even books that have been written about those definitions are so off course. So as we are digging deeper and deeper into the things of God because of the time we're in, see the time we're in. Come on, it's celebration time, right? Because yeah, the birth of Christ, which we know is not December. He was already born before December. He was born right out sometime in the September time. For you that want to know, so we celebrated, and that's this year we celebrated the new year, which was the Jewish New Year, and we celebrate this today with gratitude. Come on, we have a song called Gratitude. Hello. What's the most I can give this God of ours? What's the most I can give to him? He's the Almighty. He owns the heavens and the earth. Some of us don't recognize how great is our God. We just sang it, how great is our God. Some of us don't understand it because you haven't had a true experience with the living God. When you do have this, and I'm about to have it, I get excited now. There was a time I wasn't excited for the 12th month because it was a time that I met death. But it was a time also that I met life. Because the giver of life came when I called on him. This one I didn't know, this one I didn't believe in, but he heard my true cry. And so this is what my promise was then, and my promise is now. I will learn, and I don't stop learning. My cup never will have a cover because it will overrun when it comes to the knowledge of things of God. We have no idea because everything wasn't written for us. So in this gratitude moment that we are in, a gratitude hour, closing out a month of Thanksgiving, how many are still full on their meal? All right? You know, we our refrigerator is full of things. Like, and what? I got to be careful because it'll turn to a complaint. What, we got to eat this again? That's a complaint. Or we're going to be like we normally do with every time we have to get dressed. Well, I have nothing to wear when your closet's full. You're lying. You're lying to yourself. Because if I say there's nothing to eat and it's full of leftovers, well, that's the problem. Why is it leftover? That's another complaint. But what Paul the Apostle is saying, because of the action by the words we're speaking, that we say we're thankful, but the actions don't show us that we're thankful. Some of us are thankful for their job. You just raised your hand and said amen. Come on, we're thankful for our homes. You said you're thankful for your church. Come on. How many are thankful that you are the church? And how many know being the church, what the expectations of God are in 2025? He still has got a whole 32 days left to do amazing things. He's not limited. We're not, you know, I know we're coming into our new years, but we haven't made it yet in the Gentile expression. And here, Paul is going to write this about our expression that we have covered. We left you with Jeremiah 29:11 last week, right, of the gratitude, but an expectancy, what you should know, what you should be thankful for, what he has for you. Say me. God has an expectation for you that he wrote it to us of his expectations without saying, this is what I expect. This is what I'm giving to you. This is how I think of you. How many know God is thinking good of us right now? He's happy you're here. He's glad in the sense of the text of what I think. If you think he has a problem with you, then you should know that he wouldn't let you be born. Now we can look at the abortion rate. You think he didn't want them here? No, it's not. No, he wanted them here, but somebody, because they messed up. Say messed up. And what is that mess up? Had children before marriage. Hello? I know I'm one of them before marriage, but here I am. And now I know the thoughts that he thinks of me. Now I know that he had a future for me. Now I know that he planned this purpose in our life that we never expected to be a part of our lives. This is the last thing I ever expected to be in a suit. I'm in a suit for a purpose. I have a holy reverence to my God because I've learned who he is. And I know that in the business world that he took me to and let me raise up the businesses and make the millions of dollars for these people, I've learned in the business world. And I also learned of royalty status. And I also learned about ambassadorship. How many know we're ambassadors? You learn what an ambassador is then, because then you will never disrespect your God, who he is. He's the Most High. Oh, no, he's the Most High. Yeah, come on. When he tells us to come boldly to his throne, you must learn these things here, especially the word gratitude. You know, the attitude of gratitude. You know, we love all these statements, right? I'm a poet and I know it. Come on. Chapter 1, ISV of 2 Corinthians, excuse me, 6th chapter, verse number 1. King James is going to say it a little bit different. Since then, we are working with God. Stop right there. Stop right there. Listen to me. Do you understand? He says we are working with God. He's writing to his church. He's writing to the church that he established but can't be there because of how life is and love was back then. He's in prison writing this word. We are working with God. How can I be working with God if I'm in prison? Well, see, what we don't understand is no matter what your position is, God is working through you at that time and moment of place. And that's because he writes this so you can understand that he already knows that you will face days. You are going to be in part of a life that you regret because we make bad decisions. Come on, say amen. That testimony, that man didn't expect to have the West Nile virus. That comes by the biting of an insect. Come on, somebody. We don't realize that we're not exempt from being challenged. But in the challenge, if we know who we are, we'll be giving in our gratitude, thanking God no matter what. Say no matter what. And you know that's not possible. We already know that it's a working process to become who we are. And Paul is saying like this, since then we are working with God, we plead with you not to accept God's grace in vain. See how gratitude is going to come? It's going to come because you must recognize that this salvation that God has given us should not be taken in vain. Hello? Many are in the grave. I will dare you to go find a cemetery and go walk it. You know, you're going to see all the headstones right there, right, or whatever they're called. I want you to go up there and say, God, which one didn't accept you? Which one thought that they had tomorrow promised? And you're going to go down, and if you ever go to the cemetery, because the smallest baby person I had to bury was this big. The coffin was this big. You know how easy that was for me to do? It was the hardest I've ever had to do. It's innocence. And the hardest part is to tell the parent that they're with God. Oh, are you still thankful that you're a servant of God? See? You have no idea what God's going to allow you to be a part of, but yet you're going to be who you are because you're not going to be one of these that we're being instructed. Do not take this salvation in vain. The grace and mercy that's established today, do not take it in vain. It is established and purposed that God has us here today in this world for all purpose and plan that He already made possible. Oh, help me here, Jesus. Okay, number two. For He says, at the right time, I heard you. See, some of you don't understand that because you thought, you know, maybe you were born in church. Like some of my three children, they're born in church. They don't understand what it is not to be raised up in a house that's not Christian. They don't understand what it is to be raised in a home full of alcoholism and fighting and beating and hunger and cold nights and screaming and no love whatsoever. They don't understand that. Where God brought us from. This is why I take this journey in the fullness that God has given to us to walk in. And everything that He meant, that was meant for evil, not our God, that the enemy meant for evil, God has turned it around. He had to show us what real love is, because I had no idea real love was, because I don't know, I wasn't raised, don't hug me. We don't have that in my home. And that wasn't even a culture thing, because culture teaches that. Oh, men, you know, Mexican men. No, it's not even a culture thing. It was just a way of lifestyle that we were raised up with alcoholic parents. Hello, somebody. That's why I don't believe in drinking. I don't believe in that. I'll prove it, but I'm not here for that. Come on, somebody. That's between you and God. And whether you make heaven your home, that's between you and God. It's not my duty is to teach you the scripture, show you the way. And Paul's saying this where he says, at the right time, I heard you. See, you know what that was? When you cried out and said, save me, God. How many people always say, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. We see it on television constantly, right? They're upset that we're having our military, which is our National Guard. They're here to guard us. The National Guard guards our country. They're supposed to be out there for us. Say amen, somebody. When things aren't going the way they should, they are called to be sent in. And these, they got shot, right? And now one has lost their life, right, by some other. And now somebody, they're going to get up there in a place saying, our prayers are for you. Is this the right time in your mind? Because earlier you were saying, we don't want you here. Earlier you were saying that this is a bad call. Listen to what I'm telling you. Do not take our salvation in vain. Because at the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Listen, now is really the right time. Now is the day of salvation. Come on, somebody. That's why you're here today. That's why I'm here. Today, God may use you because the right time, at the right hour, of the right moment, because of the day is here, He might use you to tell somebody about the salvation plan that God has for them. I'm so grateful that somebody told us. Come on. How many are grateful that somebody told you? You're not here on your own. Somebody, God used someone, and He has used many to pray for you when you weren't hearing His call to come. Because He's calling everybody. Come on, somebody. He's calling because we got an intercessor sitting up there on the right hand of God. Hello, somebody. His name is Jesus. Come on, Jesus. He's up there interceding for us right now, making intercession for us. Why? Because we blow it constantly. How many know we blow it constantly? Hello. We do things we shouldn't do. But thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for the writer saying, you know, if we forgive, ask for forgiveness, he's just and faithful to forgive us. Thank you, God, for forgiveness. And he does forgive you, but if you don't forgive, you're in trouble. Your forgiveness will be in vain. And this is what he wants. But I heard you. Now is the day of salvation. Verse number 3. We do not put an obstacle in any way, in anyone's way. Otherwise, fault may be found with our own ministry. Do you realize that in this, what he's trying to tell us, this is the work of gratitude because I am so grateful he saved me. I'm going to celebrate on 12-12 next month. 1980, it'll be 45 years. I've been set free, delivered, cleansed. I don't have no desires. I have fears. I have fears of failing by God. I don't have fear of dying for my God. Come on, somebody. I have fear that I failed him. I don't want to fail the one that loved me, the one that died for me. When I see the cross, that's my victory. That's why he tells you, pick up your victory. That's what he means about your cross. Yes, you might fight. Yes, you're going to face obstacles. Yes, you are, but you are not to be the obstacle. You don't realize people are watching you. Come on, somebody. Because one day I didn't smile at someone, I became the obstacle. That's why I smile at everybody all the time. Even though I'm hurting on the inside, I'll still smile at you because someone said, because I didn't smile at them. I said, oh my God. Give me a break. Give me a break. Right? Because, but the Lord will say, I gave you a break. You cried and I heard you. Now smile back at them. Tell them you're sorry. I go, for what? Because I didn't smile. And that's where you get the statement, it's time to eat crow again. You know, some of you are not hearing this morning. We're not to be the cause of anyone to stumble. We're not to be the cause because that's we're not showing our gratitude. That we're showing a different effect, a different action. Because how many know that people out there, you're around people constantly. If you got a job, you're around people, aren't you? Either you're going to be like them or they're going to be like you. Which is it going to be? You better watch out because I hear some of your mouths, how you speak. I go, you got that from work because you didn't get that from here. I can't even see your, I can't even say the word urine differently. I can't even see the word, it's something inside me that has changed because I will cuss you out where I came from. I will stab you, shoot you where I came from. You're not from where I live. I will get rid of you. I was trained that way. Come on, somebody. Oh, you don't know us. You don't know me. But he does. And now I know him. That I can't, my respect is I can't even say dung other than dung. How many know what dung means? Some of you use the word every other day. Sugar honey, iced tea. I got that from Madagascar. Come on, somebody. You see, this is real. This is real. This is why what he's going to give you, that your divine power he wants to give you. Right? I've got the power. The movie? Anybody see the movie? I got the power. I forgot who it was. I don't know. But anyway, number 4. Instead, this what? Instead, in every way, we demonstrate that we are God's servant by tremendous endurance in the midst of, here it comes, difficulties. Many of us don't like money because it's the Monday blues. Why? Because I got to go back to work. We're so grateful, right, that we complain that what we asked for, he gave it, opened the doors, we're hired, and now we complain. And so now your complaint will show your gratitude because of your thankfulness. That's your complaint. That's what you're showing. Now your gratitude is you're going to go over there and you're going to show up and you're so unthankful for that job that your gratitude is showing that I don't even want to be here. That you're going to cheat the employer. And because you don't know that in Colossians, it tells us what we do. We do it 100% unto our God about being one serving under a master, which is a boss. And I mean, no, you're a boss. Did you know you're a boss? Did you know you can designate angels? Oh, Jesus. Some of you don't realize this because you don't think, Jesus said, in the scriptures, you search them because in them you think you find life, but they're not life. It testifies of me. And I'm paraphrasing his word in the book of the Gospels. Come on, are you with me here, somebody? But instead, this is what we got to do. Listen, by not showing our gratitude, Watch this. We do not put an obstacle in anyone's ways. Otherwise, fault may be found with our ministry, our journey. Did you know you all have a ministry? You're all in ministry today. You're all ordained by God to minister somewhere in life, whether to each other in the home, the children, the workforce, the education areas, the marketplace. How many have ever been used in the marketplace? And I'm going to tell you, when God uses you, you feel so good. Embarrassed, a little hard at first, but after that, you just want to go tell the world. Watch out with that object, because he'll put you in that world. Now go tell them. Go tell that Muslim right there that he's wrong. Oh, Jesus, help me here. You guys are quiet this morning. But you're thankful, right? We're thankful that we pay the bills. Payments paid. Come on. But instead, number four again, in every way we demonstrate. New King James. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, it's there, right? Right here it says, in much tremendous endurance. How many have had days that you wish it was over? Come on. Because the day has been awful. It's been tough. For us, all this month, a good report came, and then right after that, that's a negative. What the heck's happening, God? And then another good report, and then what? Another negative. God, help us here, Lord. Help us here. Come on, because we know we're in a great fight right now. We know we're in a battle. We know that good is coming, evil is coming against our good, but good shall overcome evil. Come on, because this is the word of God. Somebody should say amen to that. But again, servants be, verse 4, servants be by tremendous endurance in the midst of difficulties, hardships, and calamities. So what's he telling us? You must realize that the writer is telling you how to be in times you'll never face. I shouldn't say you'll never face imprisonment. For the testimony of Jesus as Savior, you'll never face that as long as you stay right where you're at. But if God calls you to go, even go south of the border, see what will happen to you over there where our missionary is at right now. Come on. And she has to. God protects her, though. But they don't want her there. Hello, somebody. But in difficulties, how many know what difficulties are? Come on, how many of us are tiptoeing through the tulips, always waking up? Oh, you should be. Come on, why? Because we're showing who we are in our gratitude of the time we are in. And he's saying that by tremendous endurance, look at that, by patience, however, by your gratitude, it should be endurance of the midst of difficulties and hardships. How many know what a hardship is? How many of you have ever been hungry and nothing there? It's not in our third world countries. We have it here in America. I've learned to go to the sheriff departments and they'll tell you we're the worst of the worst of the worst that are in need in their cities. I don't ask neighbors. I don't ask people. I go to the sheriff department. Where are the most needful ones? And they'll tell you where to go. And that's what we have done for years. Come on. For years. We might have one that's having a hardship next to you. You'll never know because that one has learned, my salvation is not in vain. My gratitude for you, Father, is that I bless your name because you have given me a life, my life that you have forgiven me, Lord. And that's more than anything because I don't deserve forgiveness. How many believe that? How many believe that we don't deserve forgiveness? But there was a love. Say a love that you don't realize until you actually receive it in hardship. That's when you're going to be proven in your difficult times, your hardship times. Come on, that's where you're going to be proven of what kind of gratitude. This is where your fruit will start showing now. That's why we call this the fruits of gratitude. He's telling us how to be like. He's saying in calamities, how many know calamities are going to happen? We're thankful for those that got the vision to do this for us. Say amen, somebody. They're happily to be here. Listen, they're happily being here. Yesterday, my daughter, and I see my son, my son-in-law say, come out here for a minute. And we're looking at the expression. I go, and I see her hand go like that. I go, something's wrong. and she got a bad report. How many know when you're trying to do good, bad reports are going to come? Yes. Come on, you're doing good. You're in church. You're giving. You're doing everything. And tomorrow you're going to go to work and say, I'm sorry, we've got to lay you off. How are you going to feel about that in the time of the season? Because you're thinking of what? It's Christmas. December 1st. Hey, are you here with me, somebody? Come on. Okay, watch this. Now he's going to say, in beatings. What? Show your gratitude in your beating. Is anybody beating you up for the name of Jesus? Are you being smacked with your hands tied because you love Jesus? Come on, somebody help me here. In beatings, how about imprisonments? Some of you are confined in your own home because of the lies of what the world has taught us about disease and other things that they come in the lies of our enemy or because of your past experience. Have anybody had a bad experience? I don't know how many car accidents I've been. Come on. Can't stop driving, though. Are you listening? But you sure are alert. Come on. You're seeing cars pulling out right. You're coming up. You have the right of way, but you see this car stopping. And I'm just pointing. No, Lord, don't. No, stop them, God, because of that. We've been hit like that. Hello, somebody. See, this is the real life and difficulties, right? No, imprisonments, because I cannot be imprisoned in my own mindset. I cannot let fear. We cannot let fear rule us. Amen, somebody. God didn't give us the spirit of fear in Timothy, right? So he gave us power, love, and a sound mind. We have a sound mindset. Come on. Somebody should be. That was your moment to say, yes, Lord. Come on. And riots. How many have been, well, we've been in riots? We got called to be in the riots of L.A. one time. Go see, sit with them because of our experiences and the knowledge that God has brought us with gangs and all this. And they called us. And they had a Mormon brother pick us up. A Mormon brother. I said, you a Mormon brother? Yeah, so Joseph Smith died for you and resurrected? What? Brigham Young, he was evil, dude. See, I'm going to talk a language that they don't understand. I said, why are you going? Why did they call you? What are you going to do? I already knew the answer. Because where they're sending us in the midst of this riot, are you here? They want money. And you know who got some money? The Mormon church. Oh, you're not hearing this. In hard work, some of you know hard work. Come on. In sleepless nights, hello. Hunger, yeah, come on, Jesus. But watch this, with purity. How many know what purity means? For you that are keeping yourself, way to go, keep keeping yourself. Come on, say amen, somebody. With knowledge, how many know we have knowledge? You all have gifts, say amen, somebody. You're all gifted in an area and talent that God has given you for his time, for his will, for his way. Hello, somebody. How many know about patience? Don't ask for him in front of me. Patience is earned. It's not given. How many know about kindness? And with the Holy Spirit, genuine love. How about 7? Truthful speech. Come on. How many know that a gratitude... The action of a gratitude is you're going to tell somebody the truth. That's why don't ask me or my wife for dinner and how the food was. Don't ask us. But I can't lie to you. Come on, somebody. Oh, it was good. No, it was. It was horrible. No, see, that's a different one that you don't want to hear. But in genuine love, because Jesus spoke the love. And it's a biblical notation that the rich boy that had a lot of money, when he told him to give it all up, follow me. Some of you don't want to hear this. He might tell you that. Come on. Number 7, truthful speech. It comes along with what we just said about genuine love. A divine power. I mean, no, we have divine power through the weapons of righteousness in the wretched heart. Now watch this. He's telling you all that you have after what you got to face divine power through the weapons of righteousness in the right and left hands. How many know your hands are powerful? The laying of hands. Come on. And I don't have to lay on hands. I can just speak the word and it gets done now. Come on. Hello. But you better know your God and you better have faith that what you have spoken is coming to pass. Amen, somebody. We learned that from our Savior. We learned that from those that weren't serving God that came to him. And he goes on with, the righteousness in the right and left hands. How many of you know what the weapons of righteousness, understanding this, what your hands are? They shouldn't be where they should never be. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, help me here. I don't have time to cover this. You got to come to our Wednesday night studies. Come on, say amen. Well, we're breaking it down word for word for word. We're coming to chapter. We're in the second book of Corinthians right now in our Wednesday night studies, but we're only in chapter 3. But this is going to come, and we'll break it down even different. Verse number 8, through honor and dishonor, through ill report and good report. Listen, through honor and dishonor. How many know that you're not always going to be honored? How many know there's going to be a lot of disrespectful days for you? Not everybody's going to honor what you believe in. How many know that? How many know that your most in your household may not honor you? See, some of you haven't been through that. You know why? Because you can't handle the truth. Why? When your mother says, get out of my house. When your stepfather says, you're not welcome back. All because you said Jesus loves you. All because we have changed. All because he did a difference in my life and you want what you have for them. Some of you do understand about not having the love of a mother. But I've learned I have a mother and a father that loves me. His name is God Almighty. Oh, Jesus, help me here. Through honor, dishonor, through ill repute and good repute. Perceived as deceivers and yet true. I may have been accused of anything wrongly. We've been accused for many things we have never done wrong. And I mean, from the world status, I had every police looking for me because they thought I was this person that did this. And I was miles away. And I still got arrested. And I, even though the person that got robbed and was stolen from said, no, that's not him. I still got arrested. Had to fight that it wasn't me. The worst part is the one that was the witness was an illegal alien. How about that, homie? I had to look at that. I said, you got to be kidding. And the worst and the better part of that, the actual person that did the thievery that day, he's in the cell next to me because he was arrested for drunkard stupor. Come on, hello. Through ill report, good report. Repute. How many know there's somebody's going to talk good about you? Yeah. Perceived as deceivers. How many know that people think you're a deceiver? Come on, when we take offerings, you're a deceiver. They're always asking for money. That's not true, yet true. Number 9, as unknown and yet well known. There are people today that want to be known that you have no idea that God is putting you and setting you up to be well known, but not in the ways that you believe you should be. Hello? As dying and yet as see, very much alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing, as poor and yet enriching many, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. Come on. Do you understand that he says the opposite of everything that life is going to throw at us? But the expectancy that God has for us, because we have a gratitude, a fruit that should be in us, just like the fruit of the Spirit. How many know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Come on, how many know what it is? That you're supposed to walk in it, but if you're not walking in the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, if you read Galatians 5 and you go through it, there's the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. It's called the works of the flesh, the desires, the hearts, the ways of God. No, the ways of our flesh in this world, but we have a fruit that we should remain in. And the number one is love. And some of us don't understand. If you love me, you'll do this for me. He already showed his love, and we get to see it every day he awakes us. Your cross is your victory. If you live and carry your cross as we heard earlier through the worship, if we carry our cross as we believe we are, then every morning we'll start off ready, no matter what the day is going to bring you. Because it may start off with a good report, and then all of a sudden, there's a bad report. However, keep moving forward in the gratitude with thanksgiving. Father, I'm still going to serve you. I'm still going to press toward that mark. You have called me to press toward that mark. It's a high calling. You're not through with us. You have promised that you If you're confident, I must be confident. 1:6 of Philippians, that what you have started, say he has started. You didn't start this. Get that out of your head. He started this in Jeremiah 29:11 when he says, before I even formed you, I knew you. You didn't know him. He knew us. Come on, somebody. And we celebrate that, and we celebrate that victory, which is called the cross, the resurrection. This is why we walk in it, regardless of everything that Paul's already written to us. He showed us how to have victory. And if anybody, like I said, I would have made it. Because unless I knew God like Paul knew God, the experience, and this is the problem. Some of us hadn't had a true experience with God, that no matter what, you're not going to give up on this journey. Because you will face a day. You will be tested. If he was tested, our Savior, we're not exempt. He warned us in John 14, tribulation, don't worry about it, because I already overcame it. Come on, somebody. You see, we don't realize that. We have a God that tells us, right? He's at the word tells us in Hebrews 1 and chapter 1 and verse 3, that he sits at the right hand of God making intercession for you, for us. That's how we're making it. Even when we give up on God, he still intercedes for us, because he's trying to bring us back. Say amen, somebody. No matter what reasons we use, we have a God, and we got to understand that he's the same God today that he was yesterday. Come on. Because proof is in the pudding. My daughter's back in church this morning. That's her gratitude. Come on. That's her action that, God, we're doing this for you, God. We're doing this. I'm serving. I'm doing this for your house. And this takes place. You know how many wouldn't have been here today? Hello? They're on vacation. You deserve it. Just don't put him on vacation. Take him with you. Come on. You're going to need him, because you don't know what you're going to face coming home. Hello, we're praying for their journeys back home. Hello, somebody. Because he's the same day. He's the same God. Come on. And at the end, I have to do it with the Lord. Say amen. I have to do it with the Lord. In closing, I want to give you a little story. It's been around for a long time. There's a gentleman that came before God and says, God, I can't handle this no more. Sounds like me. There was times I couldn't handle it. I threw the keys back. I don't know how many times. Because it gets hard. When you're in the service of God, it gets hard. Because you have an enemy that does not want you to make it, does not want you to be the example, does not want you to be that one that's going to lead others. So your enemy is going to try you on every which way. And this one was tired. I can't do this no more, God. I can't carry my cross because it's just too heavy now. These emotions, these setbacks. How many know what a setback is? Come on. All this that we have to persevere, all these actions coming against us that we just read about Paul the Apostle. You know, I've been so disrespected, so dishonored, lied about, cheated, God. I've been cheated on. Some of you say, oh, I've never been cheated on. Yeah, you felt like you deserved a promotion. That's been cheated. And the person, they swore, they pumped you up about it and gave it to someone else. Hello, people. You got to read between the lines with God what he's trying to say. So this gentleman says, I can't handle my cross no more. And God says, that's okay, son. Go put it over there in that room. And then God says, will you give me one more shot? And the man says, okay. But I just can't carry that cross no more, because it's just way too much. He says, I'm going to let you go into that room, because there are different sizes of crosses. And when you go into that room, you can choose any cross you want. And he walks in. He says, makes an agreement with God. I'm going to try it one more time, God. He goes in and he picks the smallest cross he could find. And he brings it. I'm going to, here, God, I've chosen this. He goes, are you sure this is what you want? He goes, yes. He goes, that's funny, because that's the one you just put in there. What's it telling you? In your gratitude life, your fruit. Somebody's always going to be worse off than you. somebody's going to have a bigger cross than you. Somebody is going to be going facing days greater than you'll ever expect, but they're going to have a gratitude. They're going to show an effect that they love me. They're going to show effects that they are so glad that I saved them. They're so glad that I am here for them, regardless of what they have faced. They're thanking me for my salvation plan of my son. They're being grateful because without him, they couldn't make it without that cross. People of God, your gratitude, keep your eyes on the end of this month, that that cross is your victory. Everything comes from that cross right there. It is, so take up your cross this morning, which is your victories. That when this day ends, go Rams. Just kidding. Just kidding. No, I'm not. It's God's team, so don't worry about it. That way, if God wills it, you will come tomorrow into this world again when you go to bed and you're nice and warm, where some people are not nice and warm. And you wake up in the morning, your victory is waiting for you. Stand to your feet.